world and 64 nations that are part of C3. We'll be there is 37 in the United States, and so we'll be number 38 happening in U.S. And we're part of the ARC family, which has helped us get moving and going. And so they've just been giving us a lot of tools, a lot of training, a lot of different things. How many is good to have smarter people than you come around you when you're about to start out and do something pretty significant? That's just a life principle. You just need to have great people around you. You know, sometimes we get people around us, and sometimes they pull us down instead of propel us forward. And so we got to make sure we keep surrounding ourselves with people that keep pushing us forward. Amen. And so there's a lot of things about Austin, but I want to, if you can kind of skip through to the slides where it talks about our vision real quick. I just want to jump right into that real quick. It talks about our vision. I could talk about our vision, about what we're doing in Austin all day. But our whole vision is we want to see a church that's real, fresh, and powerful. Come on now. We just think that God has created each and every one of us to be atmosphere architects. And so because you carry an atmosphere within you, you carry a presence. When you walk into a room, you carry something. And sometimes we got to be intentional about what we carry so we can make sure that that environment is real, that environment is fresh, and that environment is powerful. Because you go into different, each one of your homes have different environments. Each places you work in the marketplace have different environments. When we come together corporately, we have an environment. When we come together around small groups, there's an environment. And so I like to kind of say that, hey, each and every one of us are atmosphere architects. We are people that we are thermostats, not thermometers, amen? We are thermostats that set the atmosphere. We don't let the environment around us dictate us. And so our vision is we want to create a church that's real, fresh, and powerful, multi-ethnic, multi-generational, and is influencing the city for Jesus Christ. And our whole vision is to make it in Austin as it is in Texas. Austin's weird. And that's our whole slogan, Keep Austin Weird. And a lot of part of that is because we have so many wonderful people out here in Southern California moving to Austin like every single week. And so we love that. I was actually one of them, you know, a few years back. And so there's an environment in Austin that is happening because about 155 people per day are moving to the city. Which is about 4,600 plus people moving there per month. That's not a preacher number. That's actually a real number, okay? And so that's a real number. And so God's doing great things. I believe it's positioning Austin to be a catalyst for what God wants to do around the world. If you study the moves of God, you'll see different cities that God blessed and God touched because there were so many people moving to that city. And a lot of it was because people were getting trained, people were getting equipped, people were getting empowered and being sent out to do great things. If you look at Tulsa, Oklahoma was one of those cities during the Word of Faith and Charismatic movement in the 80s and 90s. Everyone was coming to Tulsa, but there's nothing to do in Tulsa except eat and go to restaurants and watch a movie. That's like all you do. And then go to church too. Those, like, you go to restaurants and go to church. That's all you do in Tulsa, Oklahoma. I know because I lived there for 4 years, went to Oral Roberts University. You went to church, went to school, and you went out to eat. That's all there is to do in Tulsa. There's no reason why anybody out of their mind would want to move to Tulsa, Oklahoma, except to go to church, because God blessed that city with some incredible ministries like Oral Roberts and Kenneth Hagin and Billy Joe Dwyer. Like, it's all great. God blessed that. If you reverse the clock a little further, you look at cities like Pensacola. You look at cities like Los Angeles here with the Azusa Street Revival. You look at cities like in Wales, England with the Welsh Revival. God blessed certain cities because of what he was doing in that city. I believe Austin is one of that city, not because we're special, but just because God is about ready to do something that's significant in that city. The data is showing it, but even spiritually, God's raising up a lot of new churches in that city. There's probably like a new church planner planting a church in Austin every week. It's nuts. It's crazy. We're one of those nutty people, and it's exciting. So we want to make it in Austin as in heaven, but I also know in this church here, God's called us to make it in Corona as it is in heaven as well. Come on, somebody. So you're carriers of that. You carry an atmosphere. God wants to equip you and position you to be atmosphere architects in that world. And so, why don't you go to the next slide? This is our mission. What we do, we exist to help people take their next step, to know God, to find freedom, discover purpose, and to make a difference. These are words that every person doesn't matter where your background is or where you come from, you kind of know what these phrases mean. We wanted to create language that every person could understand. We just don't want people to learn about God. We just don't want people to hear about God. We just don't want people to go to a seminary or a school somewhere and get educated about God. We want people to know God intimately. We want people to have a relationship with God that's not just stale, but that's on fire. Are y'all awake here today? Okay. We want people to have a relationship with God that is on fire and that is contagious and that is burning with passion throughout their life, throughout their family, and throughout their community. All right, we want to see people take their next step to know God. I don't remember when you first came to know Jesus. Remember how on fire for God you were, okay? Some of you need to return back to that passion and come alive again. We can have a whole revival meeting right now, okay? We need to stir that passion back up. But after that, there's more to the journey. There's more to the journey than just salvation. The Bible says that we got to work out our salvation. We want to see people find freedom. Okay, there's hang-ups, there's things that are happening in our lives and issues of our heart that needs to be refined and renewed so we can find areas. We need to find freedom in our finances, okay? We need to find freedom in the areas of our hearts. Some of us are dealing with anger issues. Some of us are dealing with jealousy issues. Some of us are dealing with sexual addiction issues, okay? It's getting real here, all right? We're dealing with, and this is something that Jesus is not scared to deal with. He's not as scared to address. And as a matter of fact, he welcomes it. Hey, let's bring all of it and let's just lay it down at the cross. We want to see people find freedom, okay? Find freedom, okay? We don't want people just to come to church and say they're a Christian and come every week and say, I got all my life together. No. Some of us in here are messed up, and you know it, and I know it. I have issues. There's things in my life that still need to be fined and retuned. I still need to go through a journey of finding freedom. Okay? And we need to take, and after that, when you found freedom, when in those issues of the heart that God wants to deal with and really get into your business, we need to take the next step to discover purpose. You have a calling, you have a purpose, there's a gift, there's a calling on your life that God has called you to walk in. He just doesn't want you to sit in a chair, he needs you to get in the game. And you get in the game by serving. You get in the game by growing. You get in the game by leading in your home, leading in the community, and leading in the local church, leading in the marketplace. You get in the game by leading. The purpose of the Great Commission was not just for the church to go or grow. The purpose of the Great Commission was for the church to lead. That was the purpose of the Great Commission, to lead in our families, lead in our communities, lead in the marketplace, lead in the church, and to dominate every sphere of culture and dominate every sphere of influence in our territories and communities. That is the purpose of the Great Commission, is for you to know God, find freedom, discover your purpose so you can go and lead and make a difference. This is the path. This is the path. So this is how do we make it in Austin? How do we make it in Corona as it is in heaven? We help people take their next step. You have a next step today. Some of you, your next step is I need to have a personal relationship with Jesus. Some of you used to walk with God, but then you stepped away because you got around with the wrong crowd. It's time for you to come back and reignite that passion for the things of God again. And then take that next step after that to find freedom, to discover purpose and make a difference. The reason, one of the reasons I love this church and I love your pastors is because they have a passion and they are committed to personal development and spiritual development. A lot of people, we can build great churches and fill up big auditoriums and we can allow you to sit in a chair and die. But there is more to the journey than that. And we got to make sure that we help people take their next step, because that's how we make it on earth as it is in heaven, that we are intentional and helping people take their next step, because there is a call of God on your life. I don't want you having that anger issue. I don't want you to have that alcoholic issue wrestling with your life forever. It's time to break free from that once and for all, so you can be the kind of person that God has called you to be. So this is our vision. I could talk about this all day and all night, and I just love it because it's just what we're about. It's who we are. It helps people take their next step to know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and make a difference. But I want to switch gears here real fast. I just wanted to You can go to the next slide. I want to switch gears here real quick because as I travel, I've been to 25 nations of the world. I've got, you know, been almost, I think, I don't know, probably like every state in America. But as I've been traveling, there's something that's been in the American church that's bothered me a little bit. That's bothered me. And basically what it is that the American church itself has believed a lie. It's believing a false belief. And that false belief is if we let the Holy Spirit move, we will scare people away. But what I'm finding as I travel, and even just in the early days in our pre-launch season as we're launching C3 Austin, what I'm finding is actually the exact opposite. What I'm finding is I believe people are hungry and desperate for a presence encounter with the living God that breaks every chain off of their life. That's actually what I'm finding. I'm finding that you know, we want to make sure that people are comfortable in church. But what I'm finding is actually the opposite because, yes, we want to create environments where people where it's welcoming and comfortable and people are, you know, want to bring their friends and their family. Yes, we want to create all that. We want to be very intentional about all that. But at the same time, what I'm discovering is that people on Sunday mornings are going through issues of life that they need a God encounter with the presence of the Holy Spirit. And actually, the Holy Spirit is called the Counselor, the Comforter, a Guide, the Spirit of Truth. And John chapter 14, verse 26 says, "But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I've said to you." He's the great Counselor. And John chapter 16, verse 13, Jesus says, "But he, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth." The Holy Spirit will always bring you back to the Word of God. And that's something we have to understand because I think the Holy Spirit has been one of the most misrepresented and probably the most misunderstood person out of the entire Trinity. To the point where we don't, as sometimes as church leaders, we have not done a great job of teaching and equipping people of who the Holy Spirit is and equipping our people to know how to move and flow and be equipped to walk in it, even in our everyday lives. There was a season, we were just having this conversation in between services. There was a season during the 80s and 90s where the charismatic and word of faith movement was so strong that we got a little goofy with it. We allowed foolishness and we allowed emotion to dominate instead of letting the word lead and how we do things. And so when 9/11 September 11th happened with the World Trade Center, I used that date as kind of like a line in the calendar, so to speak, because after that happened, things shifted in our country dramatically. Some people don't understand how much 9/11 actually impacted our country, especially when it comes to ministry in the local church in America. When that happened, we shifted. We shifted dramatically to the point where our whole ministry approach changed. And some of it was really good. Some of it needed to happen. But the pendulum went the other way so much to the point where we were too scared to even talk about the Holy Spirit. We wanted to be straight evangelical, which is great. Part of our whole mission is know God. That's evangelical. We want to reach people who are far from God. We want to create environments where people are comfortable who do not know God to know God. But I think we got to get to the point to where our mission and our approach is more holistic. And we're not just camping in parts of the Bible where we feel comfortable. We got to be more holistic. We got to take people through a journey to where it is know God, but it is also find freedom. And it is also discover purpose. We got to take people through a journey where it's evangelistic, it's Holy Spirit breakthrough, it's equipping and discovering the purpose of God within them, and it's empowering people at the very end to make a difference to impact their communities for Jesus Christ. It's not just one piece of the pie, it's the whole pie. Because there is something more of God that he wants you to taste of him that you have not already tasted. There is always a next step. there is always something more of God for you to have. There is always a next level for you to walk into. Right now, in this, there is a next level for this church to walk into. Right now in your personal life, there is a next level he wants you to go into. And it may be, you may be in one of those four phases right now, but there is a next step. What happened is, and what I see happening, is that we camp out at one thing, call it a new revelation, build a denomination around it, call it a movement, stop there, it dies, and then we wonder, okay, well, what's the next thing? There's always been a next thing. You just needed to expand your mind and spiritual capacity to know that this is not a one-time stop. This is a journey to help people, to help churches, to help movements, to help things of God, to help the people of God take their next step to know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and make a difference. This is a path, not just a one-time stop. What is the presence of the Holy Spirit? What draws and attracts the presence of the Holy Spirit? It comes down to two things: hunger and unity. Hunger and unity. When we are passionate to pursue God, and James 4, verse 8 says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Who draws first? You or God? We do. And Matthew 5, verse 6 says, blessed are those who thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. And Acts 2, verse 1 says, the day of Pentecost came, and they all came together in one accord. They were unified. Unification in the church, unity in the church, is not just when people come together, hold hands, and pray. That's not unity. Unity is when people come together in one accord under the banner of one vision. When they come under the banner of one vision, with one mission, with one direction, submitted under one authority and moving forward with what God has called them to do. That is unity. The Holy Spirit is attracted to unity and to hunger. He's attracted to those things. He's not attracted to strife. He's not attracted to gossip. He's not attracted to discord. He's not attracted to environments. He's like, hey, did you hear what so-and-so said the other day about brother so-and-so and sister so-and-so? What do you think about that? I think nothing about that. That's what I always say when people ask, hey, what do you think about that? I think nothing about that. That needs to be your response too. Hey, what do you think about that? I think nothing about that. And you should think nothing about that too. You need to come under the banner of unity and be an atmosphere cultivator, be an atmosphere architect and say, hey, we don't do that here. Gossip, we don't do that here at New Day. You may have done that at your old church, but we don't do that here. We don't do that. Why? Because if we want to create environments that are real, fresh, and powerful and attractable to the Holy Spirit, we got to make sure that we actually live out what the Bible teaches. And we got to shut things down in love, but shut it down. Shut down strife. Shut down gossip. Shut down discord. Shut it down. What do you think? I don't think. I pray. Shut it down. Why do we need his presence? Because his presence gives us joy. And Psalm 16, verse 11, you have made known to me the path of life. You filled me with the joy of your presence. I love what David is saying here. You have made known to me the path of light, the path of life. You filled me with the joy of your presence. The path is what I talked about earlier in our mission. Know God, find freedom, discover purpose, make a difference. Sometimes when we talk about the Holy Spirit, we think back to our 90s Christian mindset. We just think about the moment. The moment is awesome. When you feel the presence, when you experience it in worship, when you experience those moments that God does in your own personal time, those moments are sacred. Those moments are life redefining. But there's also another type of Holy Spirit encounter that he also wants to give you. It's not always found in the moments. It's found on a path. It's found on a path. And where the Holy Spirit takes you on a path, on a journey, is not so much to give you a goosebump, but it's to develop you as a leader. It's to develop you as a person. The Holy Spirit is both in the moment, but he's also in the path. He's in the moment, but he's also in the path. One thing that I've noticed as I've traveled as well is that sometimes in our worship settings in churches across the country, we start out in worship, and I love worship. Just take me in all day. I will be there, okay? I love it. But the problem is that we're not creating environments that are joy-filled. And people are coming into our environments that that are carrying a spirit of heaviness on them, because life is intense. How many would agree? So, okay, sometimes families are intense. Some things people are coming in from things they've experienced, you know, in work. Some things people are experiencing, and they're coming in with a spirit of heaviness. And that's why it's hard for them to step into that presence easily, because they're still carrying the heaviness of the world on them, okay? And what I've noticed is that we as sometimes as church across the country, we will start in worship. Now, I love worship, but here's the problem. It's still heavy. It's still heavy. And the Bible says that it is the garment of praise that breaks the spirit of heaviness. It's the garment of praise that breaks the spirit of heaviness. So God wants to see you joy-filled, and he wants that presence, but some of you just need a praise. And I love the worship here today, because you guys here at New Day, you guys know how to get it on. The praise here, you guys know how to step in and help people put on the garment of praise again and experience the joy again, because we're walking in with all kinds of stuff that we're carrying from the world, and we're wondering, where is that joy? God wants to remind you here today that the joy of the Lord is your strength. And the reason why we need the presence of the Holy Spirit is because he brings us joy. Another thing that he brings real quick is that he brings us peace. What does peace look like? It looks like Jesus sleeping in a boat through a storm. That's what peace looks like. And actually, the Bible calls Jesus the Prince of Peace. So you could be going through a storm right now and encountering the battle of your life. But you could be riding through the storm, resting, peaceful, knowing that it is the God of peace that crushes Satan's head under your feet. In Psalms chapter 91, he says, "He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty." I think for a lot of us, we're always going, but we've forgotten how to rest. We have forgotten how to dwell in the shelter. We have forgotten how to dwell in the shelter where the rest into the shadow of the Almighty abides. We got to learn how to rest again. In this culture that we live in, it's always about who has the biggest house, who has the biggest business, who has the biggest church, who's written the most books, who's written the most songs, who's done more, who's doing this. And then we have things like social media, which is the greatest comparison trap tool on the face of the planet. And then we have these type of things where it's like, oh, well, so and so is doing this, and so and so is doing that, and why am I not doing this, and why am I not doing that? And then your anxiety begins up, and then that heaviness begins to layer on, and then you wonder why you're not peaceful, why your mental and the state of your mental, your emotions are going all over the place. You got to shut it down and get into the shelter of the Most High. Learn how to rest again. Learn how to rest again. And then there's the presence of the Holy Spirit. And then there's another thing I just want to talk about real quick, is the power of the Holy Spirit. I can't get into this real quick. I can't get into this in depth today because of time. But I just want to just bring you back to some scriptures. 1 Corinthians 12, I'm sure you've all read, lists out the 9 gifts of the Spirit. The 9 gifts of the Spirit are power tools that God has given you to build your home, to build your life, and to build people. Okay? They are tools. They're not like popcorn candy that you just throw around church and just be goofy with. They are powerful tools that can actually build people, or they can actually harm people too. You put it in the wrong hands. With an immature person who is not grounded in the Word of God, the 9 gifts of the Spirit could actually hurt people more than build them. And that's why we got to create environments and build churches that are full of the Word, that we lead with the Word of God, but also lead with the Spirit of God too. There's some movements that are happening in our country that are basically just weird Pentecostalism, but kind of packaged a little differently to be more modern and cool. And sometimes I look at it and I'm just kind of like, hey, I like what I'm seeing and I like what I'm hearing. But the problem is that they're so Spirit-led, they're not equipping people in the Word deep enough to handle what God is doing. And you have 20-somethings and 30-somethings that just want to prophesy and do all the stuff, which is great because Paul encourages us to prophesy. But the problem is they need to read the Bible. And the thing is, you know, people are going seeking out for another prophecy and another word. And the problem is like God has already given us his word. And that needs to be the most foundational thing. I had actually a lady came up to me. This was years ago. I had a lady come up to me. He says, Pastor David, can you give me a prophecy? It's for my prophecy journal. I said, I've never had someone do this. Okay, this is for my prophecy journal. Can you give me a prophecy? I just kind of stopped. I'm a high D. Sometimes my impatience is very low, and she just caught me at a very bad time. And I said, lady, burn your books, the prophecies, now. Just burn them. Just burn it. Because if you are a spirit-empowered, discipleship-making Christian, follower of Jesus, you don't need 5 volumes of prophecy journals. You need to be grounded in the book of life, which is the Word of God, and that needs to be your direction. The Word of God gives you direction. The prophetic gives you confirmation. And right now we have, in some circles, we have flipped it to where we're trying to let the prophetic word give us direction and let the Word of God be the confirmation of the prophetic word. You have it reversed. You have it reversed. You have it reversed. So I just encourage you. All this kind of goofy stuff I just listed out is why some churches are nervous with moving in this. But even though they're nervous, it's not an excuse to forbid it. It's not an excuse to forbid it. It just means we just need to get wiser. We need to get stronger. We need to actually equip our people better and actually lead with both word and spirit, because God has given us tools. There are things that you are encountering right now that you need a tool to actually get that breakthrough that you're looking for. Some of you are praying. You're praying, and the way you pray, you always pray out of your intellect. And you're just praying out of your intellect. You're praying in English, and that's great. And I love it. But you got to understand that only gets so far. That only gets so far. Because if God wants to take you on a journey to know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and make a difference, and actually do, and you're going to fulfill the purpose and calling on your life, you have to understand you're going to come across some battles and some wars. And the nice little Mickey Mouse kumbaya prayer life is not going to cut it. There is a praying in the Holy Spirit. In Jude chapter 1, verse 20, it says, but you, my dear friends, build yourself up by praying in the Holy Spirit. Romans 8, verse 26 says, in the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We have weaknesses. There's times where we feel weak. There's times where the Apostle Paul keeps going on. He goes, there's times where I don't even know what to pray for. I don't even know how to pray about the situation. The warfare is so intense. The battle is so heavy. There's things happening in my family. There's things happening in my marriage. There's things happening in my finances. I don't even know how to pray. I don't even have the faith to believe right now. How many has ever been there? We're just getting real, y'all. I don't even know how to even begin to take the first step to begin to believe that God is the God of the breakthrough. And that's what Paul is saying. He goes, we don't even know what to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes through us with groans that cannot be expressed. And James chapter 5, verse 16 says it's the effective prayer of a righteous man that accomplishes much. It's the effective prayer. It didn't say it's the prayer of a righteous man that accomplishes much, but guess what? Because all of us are goofy. All of us are messed up in here. All of us need a greater relationship with Jesus. It's by his grace that we are saved. It's by his grace that we can keep going. But he said it's the effective prayer of a righteous man that avails much. So what does it mean to be effective when it comes to your personal prayer life? I'm not talking about a corporate setting. I'm not talking about any of that. I'm talking about your personal prayer life right now. What does it mean to be effective? If I could have someone come in on the keys here as we begin to close, that would be great. The effective prayer life is learning to know the tools that are in your tool belt. And some of you have been praying out of your intellect and out of your just understanding of certain things, and it's not getting you to where you need to be. And it's for you to step into that joy, to step into that peace, and to step into that rest like you've been searching for. My wife and I, how many of you guys have done some home projects? Like you've put together an entertainment center, a bookshelf, things like that. I think IKEA is a gift from God. And I remember we were putting together this entertainment center. And there was this one screw that just would not, obey. It would not go in. How many have had one of those things? And you're, nervous because as you're screwing it in, you're nervous that you're going to strip the screw and then it's, all done. And IKEA doesn't give you, extra screws. You only have, eight. And if you ruin, if you ruin one out of the eight, then you're out of luck. It just doesn't get in there. And so I remember had this screwdriver. I was just trying to get it in, and just wasn't listening. I felt like the Holy Spirit was talking to me and saying, he's saying, son, this is where your prayer life is. Some of you are praying with a screwdriver. You're just trying to pray out of your intellect. You're just trying to build your life with a screwdriver. You're trying to build your marriage with a screwdriver. You're trying to build your finances, build your business, build your ministry. You're trying to increase the capacity of your prayer life with a screwdriver. And then my wife, who is beautiful and amazing and has overflowing wisdom of knowledge, she reminded me, she goes, David, don't you remember we have power tools in the garage? I was like, oh yeah, you're right. I don't use it a whole lot, so I forgot I had it. Some of you are like, I know I have a prayer language. I know I've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, but I don't use it enough, so therefore I forget I have it. And then I went out to my garage, got a power tool, and that stubborn screw that would not go in went right in. God's given you power tools. You can use it effectively, or you can use it out of your emotion and be ineffective with it. He's given you power tools. And some of you today here, you may be saying, David, I've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit before. Some of you here is like saying, David, my relationship with God is not where I want it to be. I believe today that because of this church and because of I know your pastors, there is a high calling on this house. And the things that God wants to take you to, being able to be equipped effectively by the Word of God with those power tools is going to be necessary to go to the next level that God has for you, personally as well as corporately. And if you're here today, I just sense a sweet presence of the Holy Spirit right now. If you're here today and you say, David, I used to walk with Jesus. I don't anymore. Or I used to, I used to walk with Jesus, I don't anymore. Or you say, I've never walked with Jesus before. I want to give you guys an opportunity right now. You don't have to come up or anything, but I want to give you an opportunity right now to, one, to make sure your heart is real connected with God the Father right now. And two, to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Because if we're going to live out and do what God has called us to do, we can't do this in our own strength. We can't do this in our own intellect. You may have a doctorate, you may have a master's degree from the best universities in the world, but the reality is the purpose of God that's on your life, you need the great counselor, you need the great helper, you need the Holy Spirit to be the one that is filling you up personally, who's teaching you what it means to break the spirit of heaviness, to walk in a spirit of joy, to come under his banner and his Prince of Peace, to learn how to rest again, to learn how to break the patterns of comparison in your life, learn how to mentally rest, learn how to physically rest, learn how to spiritually rest, and to also learn how to activate those power tools in your life, the gifts of the Spirit, but more importantly, learn how to pray in the Spirit, because there's things that are happening in your life right now that you don't know how to pray through. You don't know how to take that next step. You don't know how to. And God, I believe that today's message is timely for someone in here. That they needed to hear that they need to put down the screwdriver. They need to put this down. And they need to pick up the power tool that you may have had in your garage like me, that you forgot you had, and pick it up and begin to pray in the Holy Spirit again in your own personal life. Doing it in your car. Doing it, you know, quietly at your desk, at your work office. There's situations that are happening in someone's job right now. You don't know how to navigate it. He's wanting to begin to pray in the Holy Spirit again. Begin to bring in that presence of the Holy Spirit. Just let him come down right in your car as you're driving to work. Let him come down right there at your desk or in your office at work. Let him come. Get your family together. Get your spouse together. Get your kids together. Say, hey, guys, we don't know what's going on right now. I don't know how to navigate this decision. I don't know how to pray through what's happening with my wife. I don't know how to pray what's happening with my kids. Just begin to pray in the Holy Spirit. Let him begin to pray through you. Begin to change the atmosphere through your prayer life. Begin to increase the capacity of your prayer life by just by praying in the Holy Spirit. You may be here today and you're saying, David, I have not received that, and I want to receive that. If everyone just stands up right now, just begin to raise your hands towards heaven. Just begin to raise your hands towards heaven. Father God, touch my heart right now. Let me experience your presence. Let me experience your joy. We break the spirit of heaviness right now that's in this room. We break the spirit of heaviness in the name of Jesus. We thank you for your peace. We thank you for your joy. We thank you for your rest. Some of you need to go home today and not just rest in regards to taking a nap, even though those are good and from Jesus. But some of you need to rest mentally, rest in your emotions, turn some things off, turn some phones off, turn some emails off, turn some social media off, turn some things off, and begin to welcome the presence of the Holy Spirit back into your home and into your environment again. Get into that flow. Sometimes we're so busy trying to, in this culture, go, 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 go. And we just need to get back in that flow again. Get back in that flow. Father, I bless this church. I bless these pastors. I bless everyone that's here today. I thank you so much for your Holy Spirit. You are the great counselor. You're the great helper.